Welcome to the David Matto Lifestyle Show. This is the show that teaches you how to become stronger, thinner, healthier, happier, and much more. Now, here's your host, Dr. David Matto.
Welcome back to the David Matto Lifestyle Show. I'm Dr. Dave. They also call me Mr. Vegan. And of course, this is the show where I help you live stronger, thinner, healthier, happier, actually a lot more. As a matter of fact, I want to share this with you. This is we've been doing this for about 3 years now. We talk about everything from eating to exercise to happiness to forgiveness to meditation to yoga. It runs the gamut. We talk about so many things. But it seems to me whenever I do a show that has happiness in the title, for some reason, and I think I may have told you this before, for some reason, the number of listens and the number of downloads just goes crazy. It goes to show that we as human beings want to be happy. And we've got a little. I don't know if it's a scientific study. I can't tell you for sure. But all I can tell you is, I'm sure when I have the word happiness in the title, more and more people listen. So I'm thinking, is happiness the most important thing in our lives? I think I've been talking about this for some time, and I believe it is. No matter how far we walk or run every day, no matter what we eat, no matter how much we meditate, no matter how many yoga poses we do, it seems to me we want to be happy. So I did some research, and I found, like, I think the two greatest happiness experts on the planet, perhaps. It's very possible. They're guests on my show today. They're Laura and Mark Tong, and they're actually happiness freaks. And that's what they call themselves, happiness freaks. As a matter of fact, their website is called positivelyhappy.me, and I'd like to bring them into the show right now. Laura and Mark, welcome. How are you guys doing?
Thank you so much, David. We are really fine, and thank you so much for having us
Absolutely
on.
Absolutely fabulous tonight.
But you've really racked up the pressure there now. Happiness experts, come on.
Well, then you've got to live up to that, I'm telling you. Now also, share with my listeners just a little bit about you, including, you don't sound like you're in North America right now. It seems to me you sound like you're across some big body of water. So tell us a little bit about where you are, and I could just tell by the accent, right? And tell us where you are, and tell us just a little bit about what you guys do.
You know, that is such a giveaway, isn't it? Yeah, we're in England. We're just a little north of London in this beautiful green pocket of woods and trees and wildlife, which makes us very, very happy. As you said, our site is called positivelyhappy.me because that's what we're all about. We're about positivity. We're about happiness.
Excellent. Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Sorry, carry on, David.
Okay, Mark, did you want to add anything to that, or did Laura give a good enough intro for the purposes of the show?
No, that was a good intro. That was definitely a good intro. Yeah,
I think
especially
the happiness bit. Yeah, I think she actually did a fantastic intro. So let's do this. Let's talk about happiness, because you heard my intro, and it really is true. Whenever I do a show that has happiness in the title, I get a ton of listens, a ton of downloads, which leads me to believe that people are maybe more interested in how they can become happier than their weight or the way they look or the way they feel or how long they can run and walk or whatever. So I guess I'm going to throw this question out to you guys first. Do you think that most people are happy, and how can we even tell if we're happy? Is there some type of measurement? How do I know if I'm happy right now? I'm smiling.
I think there's a bit of a confusion. I mean, the thing about the word happiness is that it's very widely interpreted. That's one of the real problems about it. You know what I mean? Everybody has a different interpretation of what happy means. To us, happiness, I suppose, in some ways almost translates into contentment, rather than what people think of day-to-day happiness, which goes up and down. Because if the ancient Greeks and stuff, they saw happiness as a completely different thing. They saw happiness as kind of the sum of your life. In fact, a lot of the Greek philosophers said that you couldn't tell if you'd been happy in life until the day you died, because that was their view. You overlooked your whole life and you went, was it a happy life? Yeah? So it's a much bigger thing than really, I think, a lot of people look at it nowadays. They think, am I happy? Am I smiling? Am I happy in the present moment? That's not really what we're about at all. We're about happiness as a much larger, deeper thing than just whether you've just had, you know, a nice beer and you're feeling quite relaxed. That's not quite the same thing we're at.
Laura, anything to add to that, or did Mark pretty much sum that up?
Well, I've got to say he did sum that up, but I do want to add something, actually. It's just that I think the thing about happiness is people do confuse it with contentment very much. And I think there's also a huge pressure on happiness. I think people worry about the fact they're not happy, and I think they confuse what happiness actually is. Whereas what I would say, Mark and I, we actually set our lives up to be happy. So if we look at something and it isn't going to make us happy, we don't do it. So for a lot of people, and this is no in no way judgmental or critical. For a lot of people, they'll say, the important thing to me is money and having the proper house and the proper car. To us, we've tried that and it didn't make us happy. We gave it all up. So people might look at us now and think we're not doing so well with cars and houses. But to us, it's very much a conscious thing that it doesn't make us happy. We tried all that and we didn't enjoy it in any way. We live a very simple life and we are extraordinarily happy, but it's a choice. I think that's what happiness is. It's choices. You need to decide what makes you happy, or you need to go and explore and have fun and decide what makes you happy. And then when you find it, you need to go with it if you want to be happy.
Yeah, I think one of the really big problems is that you're taught from the moment, basically, you know, from school onwards, people thrust down your throat, this is what is going to make you happy. And the problem is that you then, you know, by the time you're an adult, you've really got very little idea for your own self about what it is that makes you happy. Mm-hmm. So you go and sort of do all the things that are supposed to make you happy. And for some people it works, but for a lot of people it doesn't work, which kind of comes back to your question, David, about are people happy? I think people could be happy, could be a lot happier, if they stopped trying to fit themselves into this sort of one happiness fits all model. I don't think there is one happiness fits all. Happiness is different for everybody.
So, well, let me ask you a question, David, if I may, because you said, how would you know if you were happy right now? Do you think you're happy right now?
Okay, Laura, it's a great question, and I'm totally going to answer you. But before I answer the question, I want to share something with you. A few years ago, I ran into a friend of mine who made some life changes. He moved to another city and his job was a little bit different. And I said to him, I'm not going to mention even a first name. I'll make up a first name totally. Let's say his name was John. And I looked at him and I said, John, you know, you've made all these changes. Are you happy now? And he looked at me in the eye and hesitated. And I'll never forget these words. He said to me, you know, I think I'm happy, just like that. And to me, that said everything. To me, that said he's not happy. So, yeah, I mean, I think I'm happy, just like that. So, but I'll answer your question, Laura. Yes. If you had to ask me right now, and on a scale from 1 to 10, how happy I am, I'm going to emphatically give you a 10. I am really, really happy. And I'll tell you why. I've got a lot to compare it to. I've been through some tougher times in my life. I was in a marriage for 23 years that did not end very well. I got divorced. I was lonely. I was depressed after I got divorced. I was kind of trying to find myself. I was trying to fit into a mold that I thought I should fit into, you know, what I thought society wants me to do, and try to have the right friends. And I at one point I said, you know something, this is ridiculous. I'm going to live the life that I want to live. I don't care what people think I should be doing. I don't care what my family thinks. I want to be the real me. I want to be the true David Maddow. And in the past, in my previous life, I think I was trying to be somebody that I was not. But ever since I realized that I'm just going to be me. And if people like it, they like it. And if they don't like it, they don't like it. And as soon as I figured out I want to be me and I don't care, I know driving an expensive car does not make me happy. And as soon as I decided that, guess what? This whole new feeling came over me. I'm with a wonderful woman now. We've been together for the last 12 years. I feel that when I'm with her, I'm happy every day. And even I travel a lot. And even if we're not together, I just feel at peace. I'm doing what I want to in life. Some people think I'm weird. I like yell crazy things. I can be immature. But you know something? It's the real me. It is totally me. And yes, so to answer your question in a very, very long-winded way, I am really, really happy.
Which but is fantastic.
I think, David, you absolutely nailed it. Because yeah, that's totally what I was trying to say about happiness. Happiness isn't how you feel at this present moment. dependent on circumstances. That's not the same thing. I'll give you an example. 4 o'clock this morning, I woke up with really bad pains in my leg, which I get sometimes. And I couldn't go back to sleep. I was hobbling around. It lasted most of the day, but it didn't stop me being happy because I'm really, on a base level, just like you, I'm really happy. So the fact that you have these circumstances on top of that base level happiness, you said, how can you tell if you're really happy? That's when you can tell if you're really happy. Because when you have these things happen, you're still happy. It hurts, or, you know, like you say, occasionally things go wrong and stuff like that. But at the base level of it, it doesn't disrupt your happiness. That's when you really know you're happy, when small things that happen on a daily basis don't knock you off. If they keep knocking you off your happiness pedestal, then you're not really happy. You haven't really got it nailed.
Well said.
That's really well said. And I will add to that, Mark. I mean, look, I'm a human being. Do I ever wake up in the morning or does not feeling fantastic, or does something in my business happen where I think like, oh man, this is really not going well? Or do I ever get sad because something happens? Absolutely. Of course, I'm a human being with emotion. But whenever that happens to me, I kind of take a step back and I think about my life and I say, you know something, this will pass. This is fine. I mean, no, not really fine, but it'll pass. I am loving my life and I'm doing great, and I know this is just a temporary condition. I want to just take a step back though, because I think it was Mark, I believe Mark talked about you guys lived the life with the fancy cars and maybe some more material possessions, but tell me, speak a little bit to that, because I talk about this all the time. I'm actually right now at the point where my wife and I are trying our best to like downsize our life. Something we found out, that things in quotes, things do not make us happy, and we don't need a lot of things. And I don't need a large house. I don't need fancy cars. I wear no jewelry. The only jewelry I have is like a Fitbit on my wrist that tracks the number of steps I take every day, and a couple beaded bracelets that give me energy. That's the only jewelry I wear. And same thing with my wife. We don't need these expensive things to make us happy, because we're inherently happy. Tell me a little bit about you guys, about with the cars and the possessions and things like that. What happened?
Well, I've got to say, first of all, I have to say that happiness is a choice, and it also is individual. So if, like, you know, nice things make you happy, go for it.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
My family's half French, and they believe in art de vivre and joy de vivre and all this kind of thing. And they like fancy food and nice restaurants and this kind of stuff. So if that's your bag, absolutely fine. It just happens to be, for us, it isn't. We tried all of that. We had 3 houses and 4 cars, and we tried the kind of materialistic lifestyle, as it were, which is no attack on that at all. There's nothing wrong with that if it's your thing. For us, it just didn't work. We are basically minimalists through and through, and I think Laura would back us up on that.
Totally. But I think we're going back to what you said, David, is you have to be you. And what we had to do is we had to find who the real us was. So we got to a point in life quite early on. We've been together for 2,000 years. I think we've been married now. And I think we got to a point and we thought we could do better in life. So we went down the normal route. We went down the fancy career path and we earned more money. So we spent more money and we bought more things. And as Mark said, we had 3 houses in 3 different countries. We had 4 different cars. And life was an absolute nightmare. We had so much stuff we couldn't keep up. And we were so busy keeping up with stuff that we stopped keeping up with friends. And life got really small and really dull. And then one day we looked at each other and went, this is just dreadful. And we sold everything. And everything we couldn't sell, and this is honestly true, we put in the car park outside our house and we burnt it so that it was gone. And we now live with the bits that we've got left. And we have never been so happy.
I love that story. I'd like to even know more about that at some point. But that is a great story. Seriously. Okay, so let's shift gears a little bit now to forgiveness and letting go, because that's another, I know it's connected to happiness, and that's another big topic with my listeners, because I'm one, and we'll talk about this for a second with both of you as well, but I'm one that has found out over many years that holding a grudge or holding bad feelings or hatred or dislike, anything like that, holding it in, let's face it, I've got people in my life that have crossed me the wrong way, that have done things that I consider not very nice to me. But when you hold it in and dislike them or hate them, and it's only hurting me. So I've learned to let go and forgive and just totally let it go into the universe. And I've been teaching this to my listeners for quite some time now. And occasionally I do get somebody that says, hey, I just can't let it go. This person wronged me in such a bad way, I will hate them for the rest of my life. What do you think about that?
Well, I think the thing is that first of all, let's be really realistic about this. It's really hard to forgive someone if you think that they intended to do you some harm. Yeah, I mean, it's great talking about these things, but in real life situations with real people, it's really hard. Yeah, so that's the thing I want to say, is that if someone's struggling to forgive somebody, you've got to give them a lot of credit. It's just not as easy as it sounds. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, if you want to be happy, and that's the first choice you need to make, you've got to forgive people. And again, I mean, you've said it, David, it's just for you. Because the thing is, if you look at it this way, in fact, take the example of the chap you're talking about who can't forgive someone, right? The reason you don't want to forgive them is you think that they've done you a lot of harm, okay? So you're going, I can't forgive them because they've done me a lot of harm. If I forgive them, it's kind of like they've got away with it, right? But think about this, isn't it? If you don't forgive them, or rather the reason they did you harm, if you actually think they wanted to do that harm, it was a conscious decision on their part, was that they wanted to upset you, they wanted to harm you. So if you carry on holding this inside you, and this rage and anger about what they've done, then they're winning, aren't they? Because what they're doing is, every day, they're carrying on doing harm to you. So all you're doing is on your side, you're just giving them all that power to carry on harming you.
Exactly.
You know, that's a ridiculous thing to do. The minute you say, I really don't care about you, I don't care what you've done, I don't care what you do in the future, you know, forget it, then all that power they've got to harm you disappears. So you're winning then. You're in the, you know, you're in the seat, aren't you? You're mm-hmm. the boss at that point. That's the way to look at it, I think.
I think the other way that I would say, I think the reason some people find it hard to forgive people is we have a different idea about what forgiveness is. For me, I'm very happy to forgive somebody simply by letting it go. I think a lot of people might think when we say forgiveness, if I said, David, you really wronged me, but I forgive you, people think it means that I think what you did was okay, that you're a wonderful person, and all this stuff. No, it doesn't necessarily. I might still think what you did wasn't great, but it doesn't bother me anymore. You're you, I'm me, we have different views. It really doesn't matter. I can move on in my life if I let it go. And I think for me, a lot of the time when I say forgiveness, that's just what I mean. It means I don't hate you for it. I don't have to like you for it, but nothing. It doesn't go any further. We're neutral. It really doesn't matter. And I think that's the thing that's so important for happiness. If you don't manage to forgive or let go or whatever your definition is, you're keeping yourself in that painful space, and you're never going to be happy in a painful space.
Perfect. I love that. Now, if you could give my listeners some tips to forgiveness. So in other words, they're listening here, they're saying, well, okay, yeah, maybe I can do that, but I just, this person did some things that are so bad, I just, you know, I see them in public sometimes, I look the other way, I can't stand them. Give us some tips so my listeners, my friends here, can kind of start moving forward and actually, how do you forgive? How do you do it?
Well, I think the first things on my side, obviously you can do this in different ways, is that thing that when you say, you said a very good example, you see them in public, because it is very hard. If you think someone's really done you over on purpose, and then you actually see them in public, that really is hard to cope with. But if you think about it, like I'm saying, is that all the time that you're seething inside, you're giving them that power to carry on doing what it is that you're saying you think is so bad. So if you can just think about that and think, no, I'm not going to let them have all this power over me anymore. And the way to do that is to take all the emotion out and say, no, you're not going to affect me anymore. I don't really care what you do. Then you're winning, if you know what I mean, aren't you? You've reversed the situation. Because, I mean, if you took a really extreme example, if they were to walk up to you and try and insult you again, if that's what they did in the first place, if you just laughed and it really had no effect, they'd be really angry, because now they've got absolutely right. No ability to right. upset you or to harm mm-hmm. you. So you've won there. You're, you know, that's the way to go, isn't it?
right, so it doesn't hurt.
Right. Yeah. So let's. Here's a scenario. You're in a public place. Let's say a restaurant, and you run into this person or group of people that have like harmed you in the past, and it's always difficult to see these people. But now you're confident. You're ready to let go. Do you acknowledge them? Do you say hello to them? Do you smile? Or do you look the other way? How do you handle them in public?
So, we're both trying to speak at the same time. Go first. Go on.
I was going to say, here's where you've got to be honest about these things. See, the thing about self-help is a lot of people are kind of like Buddha on a mountain. And Buddha on a mountain is fantastic, but none of your listeners are ever going to be Buddha on a mountain. So I could say what you do is you just smile, shake their hands, and forget it never happened. Probably you don't get that far down the line. I'll give you an example. Somebody did do something to me that was perhaps incorrect. It cost me an awful lot of money. It meant I had to leave a country I was living in and go to another country. And in the end, I had to take them to the courts. And it was proven that I was correct because they were informed to pay me a lot of money. Therefore, you assume that the court said that, you know, this was correct. They were in the wrong. I didn't want to do any of this. I tried for months to try and do it without going through the court, but they refused to respond. So I had to go through the court. I had to get my money. It was a business thing. I then met that person, and in between, that person had been slandering me on the internet, trying to ruin my reputation, to which I hadn't responded at all because I never respond to anything like that. I then ran into the chap purely by accident about 3 months later. And what I did was, he tried to talk to me, and I simply didn't talk to him. I simply acted as though he wasn't there. Now, that's probably as far as a human being can get to being Buddha on a mountain. Because to me, I don't wish that guy any harm at all, whatsoever. I just needed to get my money back because I'd done a lot of work for him, he hadn't paid me. I've got nothing against the guy at all. I've got no hatred. I've absolutely no problem whatsoever with the chap. But when I met him, being a human being, if I started to talk to him, I might very well have got angry. So instead, I just blanked him completely. I didn't say a single word. I pretended like he wasn't there. And that was that. So I think you've got to give yourself a huge... Your listeners have to give themselves a huge amount of credit for however they handle the situation. Because in real life, it's really difficult to do these things. But if you can get to the point where they just don't have any power over your emotions, then you can, you know, you can do stuff like that. And really, you're the one who's happy and they're not.
And I think that's it. And another way to look at it is, we found two other ways to look at it, is everybody has different rules. David, even you and I have different rules, and we've got so many things in common. But there will come a point at somewhere where you and I have a different way of doing something. So that's another way that we look at stuff. The chap that Mark's talking about would never do what he did. But to him, it's perfectly fine. And another way that I've found is, I think if somebody is acting in a way that's really detrimental to anybody's lives, if they're really unkind or spiteful, I actually feel really sorry for them. So that, for me, we were going back to saying about tips for the people listening. To me, I look at those people and I think, do you know what? I actually feel really sorry for you. I think it's a bit of a tragedy that that's how you get kicks in life. And I think it just says to me that you're not happy. And at that point, I actually feel sorry for them rather than angry. So not being a Buddha up a mountain, like Mark said, but I do think for me that goes a very, very long way, because I actually look at them and think, do you know what? I think it's really sad. I think it's really, really, really sad.
A lot of great, great information here about happiness, forgiveness, letting go. Guys, we're just about out of time. So to summarize, to wrap up, is there anything you want to kind of leave my listeners with as far as happiness, letting go, forgiveness?
Yeah, I'd say don't look at anybody else and wonder if they're happy. That's the biggest mistake everybody makes. If you look at anybody and you think they're happy, you're wrong. You've no idea, because everybody in life is struggling with something. And some people are much happier than they look. Some people are much less happy than they look. But it's all irrelevant to you. You want to find your own way of being happy. And then when you find your own way of being happy, you want to just stick with that and not compare it to anybody else. And that is really hard to do. You know, if anybody gets that, that's fantastic. But really, that's the thing, is that it's no good looking at anybody else who looks happy, because they may not be, or they could be. Happiness is a unique thing. You want to find your own version of it, and then you want to pursue that. And if you want to be truly happy, you have to take that as your basic core decision, and then you have to go from there to make all your other decisions. So if you want to be happy, you've got to forgive people, because if you don't forgive people, you can't be happy. That's the baseline.
I think the only thing I'd add to that is that's exactly what we do. We, like I said at the very beginning, everything we do for happiness. All our choices, all our decisions, where we live, what we do, how we earn our money, every single thing we do it to be happy. We measure it. We've got one rule. Is it going to make us happy? No, then it doesn't even. We don't even entertain it. It doesn't get even a second question. That's the end of it. But that might be a little extreme. Maybe people need to work up to that. I don't know.
This has been a wonderful show, and I'm going to invite both of you to come back anytime you like, because I think we can speak about happiness so much, and I think maybe touched the tip of the iceberg today, but we're going to expand on that in future shows if you'd like to come back. Share with my listeners how they can reach you, or I know you got your website, if you want to talk about that a little bit, any books that you've had, or anything you can do with them to help them become a little happier. What can you do for my listeners?
Yeah, I mean, the best thing to do is come along to positivelyhappy.me. That's our website, positivelyhappy.me. And on there, we've got a lot of resources about happiness. We've written a lot of stuff for blogs like Tiny Buddha, Huffington. We regularly write for Huffington Post, sites like that. Positively Positive. It's got all the links on our site. So if you come to the site, you can find an awful lot of things there to sort of go out from, spider out from that, to actually look and see how you could be happy. Because that's important. Not how we're getting. And what's really important is that you can come and find a way that you can find your own way through to being happy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the website is positivelyhappy.me. We have just had Laura Tong and Mark Tong on the show. I want to thank both of you again. It was wonderful and just great information. And anytime I get people on that can help my listeners, that's what this show is all about, the David Matter Lifestyle Show. So thank you both so much. I appreciate it. Sorry about any little technical problems we've had. We're going to fix those up in the final edit, and I think we'll be okay. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Really,
that was
fun.
That was fabulous.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the David Matto Lifestyle Show. Please be sure to join us again next week. And remember, you are no longer alone.